Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame Partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome, Irish fans, to this week's edition of the Jack Swarbrick Joe Schmidt Show, with the Notre Dame football team playing in the annual Shamrock Series game this weekend at Fenway Park in Boston. We thought it was a good week to have a football theme show. So today's guests are captain and fifth-year senior Matthias Farley and the executive producer of the acclaimed Showtime docuseries on Notre Dame football, A Season With, Jason Chivico. But first, to get things started, here are your acclaimed hosts, Joe Schmidt and Jack Swarbrick.
Joe, do you know what just happened? We were introduced by an Emmy Award winning announcer.
He's a big deal. I'm pretty sure the hardware is in here.
Huge deal.
Well, yeah, it is.
Only ones that are acclaimed.
You want
Jack.
Me to bring it up?
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Yeah,
I'll bring it up.
Let's see it.
Are you kidding? We want to be prepared for when we get ours.
Exactly. We're entering our stuff into whatever we need to enter it.
Generic. They're so secretive. They don't engrave it. They send me the band.
No
so
way.
None of them are engraved during the ceremony.
So you didn't buy this in a pawn shop, is what you're saying. This is eventually the real deal.
It will have your name on it.
Yes.
Ah, I see.
They give it to you that night.
And it was the Emmy for, give us the category, tell us.
Best performance by a sports anchor, reporter, play-by-play person.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, man. This is pretty cool.
That is.
Wow.
Should we leave it right here? Or give it back
I was going to say, I think we should leave this as our centerpiece.
That's right. A little.
Our centerpiece for the rest of the show.
I
was going to say, they can send us bands, right?
Congratulations. Richly deserved. I think it probably has something to do with that call on the threes. Got it!
Yeah, there were some of those, and it was a 15-minute compilation of a number of things I'd done, all that aired on Watch ND, and yeah, there was some got it in there.
Congratulations.
We love listening to you, man.
Thank you.
Fenway Park, huh, Jack?
I'm honored.
Yeah, we're going to take it. We're going to ship out to Boston, and I've been looking at some of the images of the field. I couldn't be more excited. It looks great.
Oh, my gosh, man. I mean, I grew up a Red Sox fan. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah,
but
how did that happen?
I was on the T-ball team, I think. And then throughout my entire Little League career, I just ended up being on Red Sox team after Red Sox team. And they were actually terrible at the time. So it was fun to root for the team that wasn't very good. And then they ended up getting really good when I started to really watch baseball. You know, about like when I think I was 12, they won the World Series in that dramatic fashion. And it was even more fun to follow. But for a kid that's always wanted to go to Fenway, I guess I have to thank you for making that possible.
Well, me and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
They were great when we approached them about doing this. As you know, with the Shamrock Series, one of the things we're looking for is iconic venues.
Right.
We've been in Yankee Stadium. We're at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Soldier Field, on and on. I don't mean to slight anybody, but this was one of those on the Shamrock bucket list. You know, can we figure out how to make Fenway work? And the Red Sox have just been great partners in this. Not easy to do. They haven't had a football game in Fenway in a long time,
right.
And they've just been, as I say, great partners, and I'm excited about it as I look at the pictures.
I was going to say, Coach Kelly had to have been just prodding you, trying to get this to happen.
There was a little bit of that involved. Yeah, when we talk about possible Fenway Shamrock locations, Coach Kelly always had Boston at the top of the list.
Understandable. When did you guys start the process, thinking back, how long were you guys working on this before – really, Fenway became a real possibility, and then something actually happening.
It moved pretty quickly once we entered into discussions. I mean, we've probably known we were going to Fenway for 3+ years now, but they were so great to work with and excited to try and figure out how to make it work. One of the challenges is much fewer seats. I mean, it's a small baseball park. And so you're around 37,000, 38,000 seats, and you have to figure out how to make that work. Because effectively, we're trading a home game for the Shamrock game.
Right.
And so you go from an 80,000 seat stadium here to 37,000 seats. You have to figure out how to still make that work within your budget. And, you know, we were able to figure that out and work with the Red Sox. And it is not a cheap ticket.
No, it's not. That is for dang sure.
But there's been a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of excitement about being there.
The guys on the team are fighting like rabid dogs to try to get the spare tickets that are left over from people that aren't using them. So trust me, we're well aware that the tickets are hard to come by. How does I know the ticket distribution is a little strange. Was Boston College always going to be our opponent? And how did we kind of negotiate tickets with them? Because it is our home game, so it has to be.
Yeah, so you just use the same – because all you're doing is relocating a home game. It's not a special agreement to play there. All of the metrics, if you will, that apply to the home game agreement. So you just kept them in place.
Gotcha.
So, you know, the ACC requires a certain allotment of tickets to any conference member who visits another, and so we just use that. So it made that part of it relatively easy.
Gotcha.
It's you know, we're excited to go to Boston, but we're coming off pretty emotional week.
Yeah.
For all of us, but no more so than the seniors. So reflect for a minute for me on senior week.
You know, Jack, it's going to go down as one of, you know, my fondest memories of my time here at Notre Dame. And, you know, I had my whole family in for, you know, more or less my whole family in for the game. You know, I had some extended family members, some friends. But really, you know, sharing it with them, you know, this kind of culmination of 5 years in Notre Dame Stadium, it's been a dream of mine for so long to play here. And just kind of like living that one last time with people that I love, and then obviously the guys on the team that I love and spend all of my time with. It was really a great experience and something that I'll never forget. And you know, we're gonna get to talk to Matthias here in a little bit, which I'm excited to hear, you know, what he has to say about it. But I can't even put it into words. You know, just hugging Matthias at the end of the game, or you know, taking some pictures with, you know, my closest buddies, and it's really special.
Yeah, I love the emotion of it because it was so genuine, and you know, it had its own individual special moments. You know, to see the Turner family out there after a week in which they had such a tough time, with a with mom passing, and there were just so many special stories. Sheldon and his mom and their handshake, and, you know, working that all out. It was all so genuine and so real, and that made the day very special.
Yeah, I think that senior day has a way of, you know, I think a lot of people lose sight of the fact that we're still just, you know, 18 to 22-year-old kids. Like, you know, we're trying to figure it all out, and we're here to play a game we love for a university that we love. And and I think senior day brings that all back back to reality, if you will. You know, the fans see us with our families, and you know, we see our parents before our game, and it's all just more real is what I'm trying to get at. But it's a great experience. It's something that that I think everybody really values, and I think Notre Dame really does it the right way, in that, like, you know, we have our family out there, and we get to, you know, we get to see them then, and then after the game you get to go and spend some time on the field with your family, which is you know, a once a year type thing. So it's really cool.
Yeah, interesting game.
You know,
you guys took care of business. You were able to compartmentalize, as Coach talked to you all week about, you know, the emotion from the focus. But it was a little odd because you had these one-play touchdowns.
I know.
You know, Josh runs 98 yards, and you're back on the field.
I know.
And touchdown Trumbetti runs one into the end zone.
Don't start that. That's not what we need. We don't need touchdown Trumbetti going around.
And you're back on the field. So you know, like, from a time of possession perspective, you guys are on the field most of the game.
Yeah.
It was just odd in that way.
It seemed like at some points they were almost playing keep away. They ran the clock down, you know, for such a long, you know, the whole duration of the clock, of the play clock, really. And but really that was kind of Wake Forest way of playing the game. You know, they had a way of kind of possessing the ball, keeping the opposing offense off the field, driving the length of the field. And really, I think what it came down to was, you know, we played well in the red zone. We had a big takeaway by Andrew, touchdown Trumbetti. And really on third down, we were at third and fourth down, we were pretty good. But if you take away those, you know, those things, you know, it really would have been a lot closer game. So, you know, hats off to Coach, you know, Coach Van Gorder and Coach Kelly for, you know, orchestrating the offense and kind of, you know, getting us ready for the opportunities we knew we would have to be successful in order to beat a good Wake Forest team. And don't get me wrong, they are a very good team. Yeah. And I think you know, people discount that in the media or what have you, but they are a very, very good football team.
Given that it's almost entirely freshmen and sophomores, I'm glad they're not on the schedule for a couple of years. They're going to be really good. Another tough one coming up, a game that in the history of Notre Dame football always has some odd – dimensions and outcomes because of the sort of the intense nature of the rivalry. So good luck this week in Boston. We'll be looking forward to catching up on this game and the rest of the season next time we're together.
Sounds good, man.
All right, let's move on to our first guest.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on-demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Johnny B is here. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Chicago's talk leader, 89 WLS.
If you had to use just one phrase to describe our first guest this week, this phrase would not be a bad choice. He just makes plays. Defensive back Matthias Farley started 11 games as a freshman during Notre Dame's undefeated regular season run to the national championship game in 2012. Since that season, Matthias has been in and out of the starting lineup, but has always been a key contributor with a willingness to do whatever the team needs him to do on any given Saturday. And he has put up some pretty good numbers along the way while playing every position in the secondary. Heading into the Boston College game, Farley is second on the team in career tackles with 180, behind only linebacker Jalen Smith. He has also picked off 8 passes. This, combined with his off-field leadership, earned Farley a captaincy this season. And just as important, Farley earned his Notre Dame degree in May. So once again, Jack Swarbrick is surrounded by football captains, Matthias Farley and Joe Schmidt.
Thanks. Did I understand that intro right? Of my two guests, the leading tackler is Matthias Farley. Is that
we got to factor in Joe missed some time, which I think he would have surpassed.
I don't even know what to say. Matthias, it's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, it really is.
Your beard looks wonderful this morning.
I'm glad to be here. You know, Joe usually skips breakfast, ditches me every Thursday morning, so it's nice to finally.
Well, now you know why, right? Out.
No, it's a good cause. I like this.
It's amazing because now I've had, you know, we had Jared on last week, which is another one of our best friends, and and now we have you, which is, you know, really probably my closest friend on campus here.
It's like a circle.
But it is like a circle. But that wasn't always the case, right?
We
actually didn't start off on the right foot, which might be a little interesting intro here.
Yeah, well, so when I got here, you know, I'm pretty – I mean, I'm outgoing, Joe's outgoing, and so, Jack, this might come as a shock to you, but me and Joe – like you said, did not get along. It was mostly me. It's because we went to, like, where did we go? We went to Parisi's or something.
I don't remember.
And it was, like, the first summer we were here. And I was sitting there, and I didn't really want to be there because I was like, I just want to go sleep. Like, there's cereal in the dining hall. Why are we here? And Joe took, like, 25 minutes to order, and I was like, I don't like this kid. He's like, do you have any light balsamic? What oil do you cook it in? That's a lagoon, not a peanut. I was just like, all right, dude, this is too much. We're not going to be
I'm glad we moved past
Yeah,
that.
No, it's huge. Yeah, absolutely.
How did we move past that? How did the relationship evolve over time?
I think it was one of those things where, like, there was no real reason to not like each other other than me just being like, I don't like you. And so, like, one day we was just like, hey, what's up, dude? Let's hang out. And then we hung out, and then it was just – I don't remember.
We went to IHOP at 11 p.m.
We went to IHOP. Yeah. And then we were there, and then his sister and brother-in-law – picked us up, and then I got stuck with him, though. I don't think I intended to be with Joe. And,
like, no, we just you were really – you're actually upset about this.
But we bonded really hard at IHOP, and then he gave me a ride home, and I was like, all right, Joe's a good guy.
The worst part about it was I didn't know that you didn't like me at the time.
Oh, so yeah, that was the worst part because Joe thought we were friends.
I was like, oh, yeah, Matthias, my buddy. Like, we're totally going to hang out. We'll go to IHOP, late-night pancakes. And
so much for self-awareness.
Yeah, so much for self-awareness.
I was like, the dining hall's closed. There's no cereal. I'll just go to the IHOP.
Young player.
Well, notwithstanding the ups and downs in your relationship, obviously you two guys have been critical elements of the success of the program. Captains on a team that set the record for most home victories of any class at Notre Dame. You must take special pride in being a leader and with that legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been the biggest honor of my life to be able to be a captain here. You know, it's definitely an elite group of people. When you look back in history, the other people have worn the C. It's, you know, an unbelievable, you know, crowd to be in. And then this team, I think, is just special. You know, guys are really close. I think there's, you know, five guys who have a C on their chest, but there's so many more leaders on this team. And it's not just the older guys. There's younger guys, you know, sprinkled throughout that, you know, really keep people accountable. And I think when you have that cohesiveness across the board, it really, you know, leads to a special team.
Well, I know it's hard to – every team every year is different, right? 75% of the team is the same from year to year, but the personality of the team changes so dramatically. Can you put into words what produces the sort of tight knit that this team clearly demonstrates?
Well, I think it is. There's a couple things. There's been a lot of younger guys, you know, who have made a huge impact. So I think guys will look to them as leaders. And then just, you know, Coach Kelly always says that you want the next senior class to take up where the last senior class left off and do it better, and then do it better and do it better. And we've had, you know, as a senior class, we've had great examples of, you know, good leadership each and every year. So to build off that each and every year, I think that's why we are where we are right now.
You talked a little bit about younger players just there and how they, you know, can build on the older, the upperclassmen's legacy, if you will. You started in 2012 on a national championship team. How did you kind of mature, you know, through the process, just for the people that, you know, that weren't obviously there like I was, but how did you mature through the process and become, you know, you were a leader in that back end on that football team, but now you're a leader on the whole team and really you're a guy that brings everybody together?
Well, I think it's just really taking what I saw as, you know, great leadership in like Capron, Lewis Moore, and Zeke, and Jamoris, guys who took a lot of extra time out of their day to come see how I was doing, whether it was on the field or off the field. I mean, Jamoris got hurt in 2012. That's the reason I stepped in and started. And he would, you know, be a couple days out of surgery, and he'd be like, hey, Matthias, you want to meet and watch film? Or do you want to do this? Or can I help you with anything? So that had a huge impact on me of just how people cared. And so I try to take that and, you know, as my career's progressed, be that older voice for younger guys. Because when you get here, you know, you're unsure of yourself. I don't care what anybody says, how confident you are. You know, it's definitely a whirlwind, especially when you factor in, you know, being away from home, school, you know, challenges all over the place. And so that's what had the biggest impact on me. And so I think as I've matured, I've tried to, you know, turn myself into a guy like Jamoris or Zeke or Cap, who really had a huge impact on me.
Well, notwithstanding that you are a confident guy, you must have the challenge may have been as great for you as anybody, given that you only had 2 years of really competitive football experience behind you when you came here on a full ride, right?
Yeah. No, it was definitely a whirlwind when I started. I played soccer up until my junior high school. My junior year, I switched and played football. I mean, I didn't know anything. I ran around the first, like, three games with my helmet always popping off because I didn't know how to properly tighten my chin strap. Like, Farley, why does your helmet keep coming off? And I was like, I don't know. It feels loose. Like, you know, you can tighten it. And I was like, that would help. No, it was, and then, you know, I played 11 games and then got a full ride here. And people
must be nice.
Yeah. It was,
must be nice. I played, like, 50 games and I got nothing.
Hey, now. Are we grateful? Yes. No, so it's just a huge blessing to be here, you know, especially never having it and, you know, looking forward when I was younger to being, you know, a football player at any level, let alone the greatest place on earth.
Yeah, and then you started as a receiver here too, right? I mean, it's unbelievable how you...
I played offense.
I was going to say the receiver part.
I had great hands.
Did you have great hands?
Yeah, horrible route running. And I was a bit of a tub back then.
You're a hefty guy.
Yeah, I took full advantage of that unlimited meal plan.
Oh, my God.
What was, you know, that is an interesting journey. not having your sights set on it and not being committed to football at an early age. And then it culminates a little bit last week with Senior Day. What was that like for you?
It was really surreal. I didn't really I'm sure Joe could talk to this as well. I mean, it really hit me later. You know, and I got back home and I was like, wow. Like, last year I went through Senior Day and I had an inkling that I was going to come back. I wasn't positive, but I was like, I'm pretty sure. So I was sad to see everybody go. But this year it didn't really hit me until later that night when I got home and I was like, this has been the most ridiculous journey anybody could have ever gone on, especially coming from the place I came and never thinking about playing football. You know, my freshman year is my third year ever playing. And then to run out on that field for the last time, it you know, it's sad, but at the same time, it's such a sweet thing to be able to have experienced playing football here.
And you had a lot of your family here too, which had to have been special to share that moment with. You know, you guys are so close.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool. So my sister Joy, she's like the family photographer. She takes pictures of everything. My mom has to tell her, don't post this. This is our moment. but she posted a picture on Facebook, and it was me on signing my NLI, my National Letter of Intent. I don't know if everyone knows that NLI.
I don't know that.
Yeah, okay. But my brothers, Timon, Nathan, and Keenan, my three older brothers were all there. And then on Senior Day this past weekend, my three older brothers were there. So it was pretty cool.
Tell us a little bit about those family members, because there's a lot of interesting stories, including motivation for you and the experience of your siblings and sort of their own achievements. So take us through those siblings, will you?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So I'm one of seven children. I'm the sixth. So my oldest brother, Timon, he actually just moved back from San Diego to Charlotte, and he's working there and with his wife Aisha. And he played college basketball at Charleston Southern, and then he transferred to Queens College in Charlotte, and then he went on to play in Italy for a few years, coming back and getting married. And then my brother Nathan played at Coastal Carolina, and he's y'all have all heard about Nathan. I'm sure he's a huge reason why I played football, because he had it taken from him, and so he works in Charlotte. My sister Kara, she lives in Atlanta, and she works for the Gallo Wine family. Down there, and she's just, you know, she can tell you if a wine's been aged in an oak barrel or a steel barrel. Oak chips, it's crazy. She's like, oh yeah, it's real smoky. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking
like
about. Yeah. And then my brother Keenan, he works in Charlottesville. He played college basketball. My sister Joy, she worked in real estate. She still works in real estate in Charlotte, and you know, she's done incredibly well with that. And then my little brother Silas, who is the easiest one to talk about. He's a professional dancer for the New York City Ballet Company. Unbelievably talented. He moved up there and he was 14 to be in professional children's school and then the School of American Ballet, and has just taken off.
Yeah, he's, you know, I was, you were, did me the favor of joining me for a speech in New York recently, and that caused me to look up Silas, and I encourage our audience to do it.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Do a Google search of Silas, and some of the language used in the reviews.
To get a dictionary.
when the New York Times is saying the future of the New York City Ballet, you know, you're thinking this guy's got some really special talent, as the whole family clearly does. You alluded to your brother's story who had football taken away, but not everyone does know that. So why don't you fill that in a little bit?
Yeah, so my brother Nathan, so backtracking a little bit, my parents wouldn't let us play football for the longest time. It didn't really affect me because I was a soccer player and I was really little. But my brother Nathan, when he got to high school, he really wanted to play football. My parents said no. And then he asked again and they said no. And then he asked again and they said no. And so finally they decided to say, all right, you know what? You know, if that's what you want to do, then you can do it. We'll support you in whatever you want to do. So he went on and played, got a college scholarship, was doing really well, was starting a tight end, and got ear holed in the practice, and they found a tumor on the back of his brain, and it filled up with blood, and it was like the size of a golf ball. And so the doctor said he had he had concussion problems throughout. That was what it was from, but they didn't know. And so it filled up with blood, and so they, you know, told him that he could either stop playing, because if he gets hit like that again, it could be fatal, or he could take the risk. And so it was pretty much a no-brainer. And I just remember being little and, you know, going to his high school games and, you know, all the other little kids run around and, like, you know, play on the monkey bars and don't really care about the game. I'd be glued. I'd be like, oh, man, that's so cool, because we could never do it. Right. I didn't really understand. I just knew he was good at it and they were on a good team and all that kind of stuff. And then we'd go to his college games, like one or two a year. We'd drive down to Myrtle Beach, and I just remember being in awe every time I would see him in shoulder pads, all this stuff. I was like, it's so cool, it's so cool, it's so cool. And then just have it, to see him have it taken from him, you know, in that way, and how it affected him. And he still stayed involved. He still coached and all that stuff. But it just had a huge effect on him. And then so when I told him, I was like, Nathan, I'm going to play football. He's like, oh, dude, do it. Because every time we talked about it, even when we play Xbox or something, he'd get all lit up about football, football, football. So my junior year, I switched over, and he came. He surprised me at two games because he was living in Orlando, Florida at the time. And then my senior year, he left his job in Orlando and moved back to Charlotte so he could watch me play all my games.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Well, that's you've represented that legacy as you've represented this university with great skill and great care, and we appreciate all you've done to help lead this program. And thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Yeah.
Thanks, Ty.
Yeah, see you, Jeff.
See you a little bit later.
We'll be back in a minute.
Notre Dame football is on 89 WLS.
Our second guest today is the executive producer of the current highly acclaimed weekly special docuseries on Notre Dame football, A Season With, Jason Shevico. Jason has produced numerous compelling docuseries in recent years, including Dance Crash for OWN Network, The Streak about a dominant high school wrestling team for ESPN, and Two-A-Days about high school football in Hoover, Alabama for MTV and Country Music Television. All of us here at Notre Dame know what a monumental undertaking producing A Season With is, and we are looking forward to hearing about all the details from Jason this week.
Jason, thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
It was an impressive list of accomplishments, but, you know, I got to think high up on that list is making Joe Schmidt look good.
I was going to say, it's an
extended period of time.
It's an undertaking.
It's hard work, isn't it, Joe? It's hard work.
You guys got to start on Monday and really come up with ways to shoot me, right?
Oh, the meeting started in the summer. We started in the summer trying to figure out how we were going to do this.
Had to overcome the natural obstacles in the show. So you guys hit the ground running. I mean, we started this project a little later than perhaps, optimally you might have liked, and you jumped headlong into it. What's it been like? I'm sure a bit of a whirlwind.
I was going to use that exact word, a whirlwind. As you know, we started meeting in the summer, having the meetings, and then took some time to get the deal done. And then once the deal got done, we hit the ground running. As Joe can tell you, I think one day they had no cameras at practice, and the next day they had 30 people running around. And so it's been a lot of work. It's been an amazing almost 4 months now. It's been a great opportunity to tell a great story at a great university. And that's something coming into this season that we really wanted to be able to do. We felt like Notre Dame was that school that we wanted to launch this franchise with. And so we've been really excited. We've been happy with the outcome. We feel like we've been able to tell some really unique stories. And take fans, you see the guys play every Saturday, and sometimes you see them in the press and you see media interviews, but I don't think you've ever gotten to see them in this light, off the field, with their friends, dealing with some emotional things, whether it's injuries or loss or just playing their last home game like Joe did last week. So I think we've been able to capture a lot of those kind of unique moments, and I think the fans have been really excited with the show to date.
So something that I think the guys on the team are fascinated with is that you guys are really with us every minute, it seems, of every day. You come back to our homes, you meet our families, and you have footage of all of this. One of the most difficult things I feel has to be is deciding what's in and what's out and really what story you want to tell with all of this information, because we're really, you're with us all the time. So how do you decide the story that you want to tell? Because there's got to be some storyline, right? And then how do you figure out what's in and what's out for that story?
Sure. That's probably the hardest part of our job, honestly, is because we have so many great stories to tell. We only have a 30-minute show. The game takes a large portion of that. So you're really talking about 20 minutes that we're able to tell some stories during the week. And it's really meetings. It's a lot of meetings. It's a lot of phone calls. It's trying to kind of keep our pulse on what's going on with the team. Hopefully you've seen our stories. We try and make sure that they're organic with what's going on with the team, mm-hmm. whether it's a big game that's coming up or it's senior week or something like that. So it's a hard job because we take about anywhere from 20 to 25 hours a day worth of footage, you know, times 7 days. Jeez. You're talking about over 140 hours a week worth of footage that we narrow down into 28 minutes and 30 seconds each week.
You're covering a team, but you're covering it with a team. It's a big crew of a lot of talented people. Give us a sense of how that team is shaped. How do you put it together?
So we have a team of producers, and each producer is assigned to different crews. We have four different crews, camera crews, that shoot on a day-to-day basis. Those crews consist of a camera operator, an audio sound technician, an associate producer, somebody that kind of takes notes and logs everything, an assistant camera operator that helps with, you guys have seen them, these cameras are huge with a lot of things on them, swapping out lenses and things like that. And then we have our production kind of logistical side of things, which handle all the logistics. We fly with you guys everywhere. We stay in hotels. Every day there's something to be done. So it's a team of about 30 to 35 people on a day-to-day basis that's on the ground here actually working with us. And sometimes it feels like it's not enough because there's a lot going on.
And how do you select those people? Because I feel like they really do. They gel so well and they fit with Notre Dame because, I mean, whether it's the other producers that you have here, you know, one came back to California with me and they're all good people. How did you kind of do that selection process? It probably was easy with, being Showtime, a major network. I don't know, though.
Well, it is a part of that. The one thing Showtime's been able to do is hire the best of the best. When we started the show, we wanted the show to be the best. And in order for it to be the best, you had to go and find the best crew and the best teams. And Showtime enabled us to do that. We went and found the best producers and the best camera operators and the best sound people. And luckily, I've been doing a lot of these kind of similar shows for a long time. So we had a good kind of range of guys to pick from. And hopefully you would agree, it's important for these guys to blend in not only with our crew, but with the team.
Right.
And it's important that they just become kind of a part of the team. And some of the things I've read, one of the greatest accomplishments for me is that we've been able to not be a distraction. We've been able to be just a part of the team. I think you've said it. I know, Jack, you've said it in some interviews. And that's what really makes me proud, because with this kind of high-level program, contending for a national championship, the last thing that you want to do is cause any kind of distraction. And so we try and keep everything consistent. As you know, every time you walk in a room, there's a camera. And sometimes we may not need a certain meeting, but we want to keep things consistent. So everything just stays the same. It's the same routine. And coaches like that. They're big on their routines, as you know.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest surprise for you?
I think the biggest surprise for me coming in, you hear how Notre Dame is big on academics and they're big on the right kind of guy. You kept hearing Coach Kelly talking about this early, RKG. And at different schools, I'm not downplaying any other schools, but it's just different here at Notre Dame. I mean, you really have a good group of guys, and the guys, it's like a family. They hang out together. They on the field, off the field, they're very supportive of each other. And it's just a different group. And I've been around a lot of teams. I've been around a lot of college teams, pro teams, things like that. And I can honestly say I've never seen this kind of family atmosphere from top to bottom. You're talking about from seniors all the way down to freshmen. And it's been really cool to see that.
How is your job, maybe this kind of plays into, what you just talked about with Notre Dame, but how is your job different here with, a season with, as compared to, maybe the Hoover series or maybe some past work you might have done?
I think there's some similarities in the show. Here you're dealing with a major college with a very tight schedule. Everything is scheduled to the minute.
Right.
Every single thing throughout your day is scheduled. And you need to stay on that schedule, otherwise you're going to miss it. We're not walking into a meeting late. Things don't run late. Things are very on time here. So I think that's some of the differences. I think, obviously, traveling around is a big difference. When you're doing high school sports, there's not, that kind of travel. And here, there's just every day you guys have something. I mean, our crew show up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they don't go home till 11 o'clock at night sometimes. and so I think that schedule for us was a little – we kind of knew it coming in, but it's another thing to – do it day in and day out for 3 months. And August was, I felt like I was in training camp in August, because we'd wake up at 5 in the morning. You have two practices a day. We get home at 11 o'clock at night, and then I still have to watch footage. So I'm up sitting in my hotel room just watching footage for 2 more hours and going to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and then getting up and doing it for, 20-something straight days.
Yeah, I thought that must have been the most difficult part of this exact project was had to have been condensing those 3 weeks, because you guys shot like 3 weeks for that first show, which was – It was actually ridiculous that you guys got it down to 28 minutes. I don't know how you did it.
Yeah, it really was. And in the first, a lot of that first 3-4 weeks is really getting to know you guys, right? You guys getting comfortable with us getting comfortable with you, figuring out where the organic storylines are. One of the things I've always been very passionate about in programs that I produce is finding those real raw moments. We don't like to manufacture anything. We don't like to manipulate anything. We like finding those situations where we can really get you know, true feelings and what guys are really thinking.
The reaction that I've gotten has been so positive. You know, our fans have loved it. I've heard from a lot of people who aren't necessarily fans of Notre Dame who think it's a great show. What sort of reaction have you been getting?
We've been getting phenomenal reaction, actually, very positive. And my uncle, I'll tell this story, born and raised in Miami, huge Miami Hurricanes fan. Grew up not necessarily on the Notre Dame bandwagon, right?
Yeah.
They had some good rivalries. I'm trying to be nice
some
here.
Some games.
And he calls me after the second show, and he goes, Jason, I got to tell you, this show is awesome. Like, this is a great show. He goes, but I'm really upset about one thing. I'm like, what's that? He goes, you're starting to get me to like Notre Dame. And this he went to school at Miami, season ticket holder at Miami. And I've heard that from more and more people. I've heard from people saying either they didn't follow Notre Dame or maybe there were rivals to Notre Dame. But after you watch our show, you can't help but respect the tradition. You can't help but appreciate what Notre Dame has to offer. And to me, that's been some of the greatest things that I've heard.
And what so, you know, we've been here now for 10 weeks in plus the training camp. What's been maybe, you know, your favorite or your favorite moments of the season or of the shows that we've shown, or maybe something that wasn't even shown has been your favorite?
I actually think I'm not just saying this. I think last week seeing Senior Week and seeing you guys really processing what you've been through in the last few years, seeing Nick at the Grotto and seeing you and Jared in the Basilica and hearing Coach talk. You know, I interview Coach 2 to 3 times a week, and just hearing the emotion in him, like, it goes back to what I was saying to Jack before. Like, it's just different here at Notre Dame. Like, there's a different respect. There's a different tradition and appreciation, I think, for what you guys have here. And I think that's been really unique to see. I think overall seeing the team start off 3-0, 4-0, yeah. I think, heading into Clemson, seeing that loss firsthand, we were in the locker room with you guys. That was one of those moments I was worried. Are we going to get kicked out of the locker room? This is a very intense moment. And that's one thing I tell everybody. Coach Kelly, as you know, has never kicked us out of one thing. We've been there every step of the way. And I think that's been great because we've been able to show the fans what's winning like and then that one loss and kind of how you guys handled that. And I think you guys handled it like pros. So I think in the show you see a lot of those unique things.
Well, you do, and I can't thank you enough for your leadership on this and how hard your crew has worked to make it work right. As you say, you haven't been kicked out of anything because you've fit in so seamlessly. And you referred to the whole team and the size of it, but you know, it's apparent to everybody I know, but you're taking 4 months of your life and moving to a different city and living out of hotels to make this work. It is an incredible effort. And I'm so pleased with the results, and you can only get those results when you got a team that has all the ingredients of a good football team, right? They like each other. They have great That's leadership, right. And we appreciate your leadership and all you've done to bring a season with Notre Dame to life. So thanks very much.
No problem. I really appreciate you saying that. And I have 4 kids and a wife, and I couldn't do it, obviously, without my wife's support, and that's been huge in this whole thing. So being away for 4 months is hard, as you've said, but I think we're turning out a great product.
So 4 future Notre Dame students.
Let's do it. Let's sign them up. Boys and a girl.
There you go.
We'll look forward to that. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back in a minute.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Have a great weekend. Good luck surviving snow apocalypse. Hopefully you won't have to resort to cannibalism. We're back Monday. John Howell, 89 WDLS.
Time now to wrap up this Shamrock Series edition of the Joe Schmidt, Jack Swarbrick Show. But as always on the campus at the University of Notre Dame, football is not the only thing going on this weekend.
Thanks, Jack. It's the Joe Schmidt abetted by Jack Swarbrick Show. Yeah, I just want to call attention to 2 things, Joe. One is 2 really good soccer teams are into the NCAA tournament now. The guys, a number 7 overall seed in the tournament. The women, a 3 seed, won the first game, and so they're pursuing their championship dreams, as you guys are yours. And then Also want to take a moment to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving. Next week, we have a best of show.
A best of.
So I heard the last best of show was the best of Joe Schmidt. They sort of cut me out of it, but that's okay. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks to talk about BC and Stanford, hopefully two W's, and happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, and all our listeners and viewers.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and can't wait for the next show, man.
See you in Boston.
See you in Boston. Shipping up.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame partners Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame athletics. The Jack Swarbrick Show on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.